Every single day I feel
the Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never knew I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Yeah. We're C-Rock here in That One Studio on the Woody Madoff Show. Welcome. I'm glad you're with us. I'm glad you're either listening or watching, however you're consuming this content. I just want you to know that I appreciate you. And we're about to pour into you today with Brad Williams. He's my guest today. Over the last decade, Brad owned and operated three gym locations in Orange County. He oversaw 40-plus independent personal trainers, each with their unique training styles. He built a loyal following and sought-after client trainer community culture within each of his gym locations. Man, I love that word, culture. Post-COVID, Brad had to focus more on online training and had started his first fitness podcast called Over 40 Fitness Hacks. He wanted the show that he started to revolve around his passion of helping the over 40 crowd fight the aging process. Man, I love this stuff while still having a social life. Brad, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mike, for having me on.
Yeah, man. Listen, let's get into it. You know, this show is all about the ingredients that have gone into making my guests who they are and why they're doing what they're doing now. And really I want to share the journey to success, right? And success is different levels, and we all get to one thing and then we like move on to the next. And living is all about accomplishing something and then going and seeing how far you can take this thing, right? I always say that. I want to see how far I can take this thing. So that's what the show is about. And if you're a first time listener, you know, you're going to continue to listen once you hear an episode, because we just share the raw, the transparent, the vulnerable, so that you can understand that you're not alone when you go through those things. And the key is to persist. So Brad, I start the show with this question written on the wall behind me. What are you made of?
Oh man, I would have to say a little bit of blood, a lot of sweat, and a ton of tears. If you hear my story.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. All right. So let's get into it, because I think I have had the same, and any entrepreneur has had the same, but everybody's story is different and specific to you. Brad, everybody's got that story. What is your story, man? Take us back as far back as you want to go, and let's get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of born and raised here in Central California, later moved down to Orange County in San Diego. But, you know, I grew up in Central California. My father was a medical doctor. Mom was a nurse. So I already kind of had that at that time, the, you know, what the healthiest you could be as an individual, and, you know, pretty decent upbringing. And I always was into health and fitness and sports. And so, you know, going on to college, you know, playing a lot of soccer and other sports, and eventually got my business degree from Long Beach State. So not knowing what I want to do, but I was kind of always following my uncle's footsteps, who's a big time entrepreneur and CEO of all these different companies, and, you know, wanted to be like him. So I got my business degree, didn't know what I wanted to do. So after a couple of various jobs, I, you know, started working at the Port of Los Angeles. And that's a very stressful job, high paying job. And after 5 years of working there, I was they had a gym there, and I was training everyone in there because I, you know, had the most knowledge. I'd actually gotten my personal training certification and started doing a little side hustle on top of the high paying job. So I was crushing it at this place and couldn't wait to get out of there. I hated it.
What, the port, you know, or the port?
Working,
right?
At, yeah, the port. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So eventually, you know, my brother wanted to be part of the business, you know, more of just the back end stuff and doing the financing. So I decided, hey, why don't we just go ahead and go for it, get a gym, start doing personal training, and, you know, 2 years of planning, and we just went out and did it. So got a place in Huntington Beach, California, which is Orange County, and a small little
place to be for the gym, man.
Oh man, awesome! Right next to the beach, and just over, you know, that was, I should have updated my intro for you. You know, decade. It's been like 16 years now, but over the last 15 years, just trial and tribulation of, you know, getting that gym going, realized it was kind of the wrong spot for the market, being, you know, so close to the ocean. You just don't have the clientele opportunities as you do if you were a little bit more inland. And so, taking, suggestions from my uncle, like I said, my mentor, was get in a better area, you know, close down the other one, and just did great at that next gym. And then met a lot of rich people in this industry. You know, that's our clients that can afford personal trainers. And, you know, they're always looking and watching for other entrepreneurs. And they saw something into me and had a meeting with me, and we ended up getting three other gyms going. So that was the start of the story.
Yeah. When I said great spot in Orange County, OC, the OC, like everybody there, not everybody, but the majority of people care about their appearance, their shape, you know, and they're a lot more beautiful people, it seems like, and then in inland America, like, and that's important because obviously that's what you need. You have that need, the people that want to pour into themselves, right? So what was the hardest thing for you when you started your own business, right? You go open up a gym, you had a business degree, but really nothing in school teaches you the things that we run into as entrepreneurs. What was the most challenging thing that comes to mind that caused you the most stress, that you were banging your head on the wall trying to figure out, like, what comes to mind for that part?
I mean, number one is marketing. You know, you do your business plan, went to school for that, you know, getting all your fixed costs and planning for that. I mean, that's just mathematical equations and doing a spreadsheet and, you know, going and checking out your spot, thinking that's the right one. But doing market research, I should have talked to other, you know, owners in the industry, fitness owners. And man, you talk to someone who's, not happy, he or she will just dump on you their story. And you get so much insight of like every little nook and cranny of that city. And I'm telling you, as we progressed and got more gyms, you go 5 minutes out, completely different story of who to market to and what's actually going to work. So, you know, you only learn so much in school, and you would never learn this anyways until you jumped in. So I don't see how I could have, you know, besides having another mentor who was actually in the fitness business, who was successful in Huntington Beach, that would have been the only way that, you know, I could have had an easier time.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing about marketing, right? Like, here's the thing, to be a business owner, you don't have to be good at marketing. You have to have some kind of concept of it. But then when you go out looking for somebody to handle your marketing or help you with, there's so many different people out there, and some are good, some are not. And some are just good at marketing, but have no idea about anything else. And you got to weed through all that. And what was the thing that got you to the cranking? Like what was like the first lesson you learned to get that crank going, that flywheel?
Yeah. So the first one was after, you know, talking back to my uncle, you know, things are going good, but we can't get to this next level. And sure enough, he told me if the location was the problem. So he had me go search out any new places, and better yet, an established business who's trying to sell. And sure enough, I found one down the street by 3 minutes, was looking to sell and just get out of it. He was doing okay. You know, I thought I could do better. And, willing to deal in for about 6 months, ended up taking over his spot, closing down my first location. And that was the best decision I ever made. Of course, it's what my uncle had pushed me to in the first place. Came chock full of like 10 different trainers, you know, a beautiful establishment that I could, you know, upgrade a little bit. And from then on, for the next 3 years, I was just, you know, killing it.
Yeah. Now, was the guy that you purchased that first gym from, was he like open and transparent with his challenges and helping you out like that? Or was he more like withdrawn with that information and like keep it close to chest?
He was pretty transparent, but as I kept going and meeting some of the other trainers, you know, little quick stories, you start getting a little bit of his background and his demeanor, and, you know, but for the most part, he was putting all his cards on the table. And of course, everyone wants a lot more money than they're, at least I think they're worth at that time. And I kind of smelled a little bit of desperation in his tone. And, you know, I didn't need to take this place, so I kind of played my cards right, and I got it for the, you know, the lowered cost that I wanted to. And thank God, because it wasn't like a $1 billion gym that I was buying. You know, there was going to be some issues with, you know, a new owner coming in and trainers not, you know, accepting me. You know, there's always those kind of risks. But that was one of the greatest things I created in my first one, was just that culture. Like, that was part of my intro. My whole thing is creating this, you know, average Joe's gym. Everyone knows each other. All the trainers talk to each other, because I've been to so many places where it's just crickets. No one talks to anyone. It's so boring. You don't get that vibe. And, you know, that's what I created. So as soon as I took over this new spot, it didn't take me long at all. Within a month, I was hanging out with all the trainers, you know, taking them out and, and just getting to know each other. All the clients were just so welcoming. And, you know, right off the bat, I could tell they liked me more than, you know, the previous owner for the last few years.
Yeah. And I have a feeling it has to do with the thing that, you know, you care about the people probably that, and you want them to see, like when I'm running a business, I want my employees, cause I want this for myself. Right. So everything I want for myself, everybody else has to want. And I'm talking about the overall, not specifics, but like you, when you wake up in the morning and you go to work, like you want to love where you go. You want to love the people that you're around. You want to love the person that you're working for and somehow tie your personal goals, personal, professional, financial, as my mentor taught me, with the business goals. And then if you can interlink those personal, professional, financial to the business vision and goals, then you got people bought in and they're not just employees. They're part of the team. It's a community you build, right? So like, is that kind of what you saw and what you do?
Yeah, same thing. So, I mean, we're all just one, you know, big, happy family. And then of course, a lot of the trainers that were, you know, more accepting and wanted to do more for the gym and possibly manage all that kind of stuff. You know, I picked them out pretty quick and elevated them up with me because, you know, you're only as good as your foundation. And, you know, I wanted to create that strong foundation if I was going to, you know, open up more gyms, which I later did.
Yeah. And the thing is, man, like if you're not there and you have employees and your team members working for you, like, You want your vibe transferring through them to your clients, right? And to the gym users. And if you don't do it the right way, they'll basically trash you, give you a bad reputation and won't represent you very well. And so, you know, that's why you've had success. I love it. So, and then from there, you know, some of the most successful CEOs that I've ever talked to, which I've talked to a lot, obviously, with the show and the networking that I do. They always talk about the ones that are successful, talk to me about, hey, look, I go to the ground level and talk to the people at my locations. And I had a CEO one time, he took over a company and he built it to like a $1 billion sale. And he said, the first thing he did when he went on, he got hired was he went and talked to the people on the ground and found out what was going on and listened to them. And then he gave them power to, you know, create things in the business. It's still your business, but give them, say, hey, look, I want your input. I want to build this business with your ideas too, right? Is that kind of the things you're experiencing?
Yeah, exactly. And not only give them that opportunity, but also, you know, let it be known, I want to hear any problems you have. Don't think that I'm going to hold this against you, even if it's something bad about me. I give it to me straight, you know, and I've been at other jobs in my life where someone would do that, like at the port, some high CEO we couldn't even believe would sit down here with us at the time, assistant managers, and letting us just vent and pushing us like, give me more, don't hold anything back. I mean, that's kind of style that I wanted to hear from my trainers as well. Like if I'm doing something wrong, you know, I'll take it with a grain of salt. It's my business, but I want to hear you and just get the feedback. And then, you know, I acted upon a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I had the great thing going for a long time.
Yeah. And then from that happening and then come COVID, right? And I experienced this with the gym that I go to and obviously the businesses that I run. And we all had our different challenges with that. And a lot of the gyms were shut down, right? California was really harsh with COVID. Other states were less lenient. But I know what California was all about and specific counties in California were very strict. Can you take us through the story of, you know, when February came and then March 2020 came in and your emotions and thoughts and, you know, tell us the story about that part.
Yeah. Well, real quick, just right before leading up to that, you know, I was saying I was doing great for a long time. And then I had some clients who were angel investors that were watching me for a while. And they actually approached me and wanted to push me to open up a few more gyms. So I ended up doing that, which was my first mistake. And my uncle had told me not to do it, but, you know, I only want to hear what I want to hear at that time. And I was looking to expand and I got this culture and we ended up opening three more locations within like a year and a half time span. And that was a bad move. Should have closed down location.
Oh, well, go ahead. But the location, opening locations or taking on investors was his issue or both?
No, taking on investors was fine. I should have never had to put in my own money. So I did put a little bit in when you should just use other people's money. 100%. That was fine. It was the locations and just getting pushed to quickly grab all these spots. Some were new locations and some were existing businesses that we bought out. but not doing market research, not knowing like what style of training and clientele would work in those locations. And then it was, you know, and also, you know, a lot of these places were 5, maybe 10 minutes apart. It's still too close. You're sitting there eating each other's profits and business. And on top of that, you know, just doing business in California is not the easiest. And then, you know, having all the competition in the world, like you said, Orange County, beach weather, all that, there's a million competitors because everyone is so focused on that. You know, even here in San Diego, where I am now, it's just, you know, every big city or big kind of beachy city is like fitness capital of the world. So we had so much competition to deal with. And then, you know, over time, closed down one gym. And then that was right before, you know, bringing up COVID. And now we're here icing on the cake. We're, you know, struggling with that. And at one point I had a spot in Fountain Valley. I had 2 in Huntington Beach. I had one in Sunset Beach that we closed down already. So, you know, COVID came and didn't know what to do. And funny enough, the ones that were surviving were our warehouse gyms in Huntington Beach. And I think Huntington Beach is a little more red in the state of California that fights back a lot. And that kind of helped us. And the other part was being in a warehouse, you know, in an industrial section, the city's not like sending people out in those areas to see what's going on. So, you know, we were able to survive with those two places. But, you know, just the other part of it is our clientele was the over 40 crowd who could hire personal trainers. A lot of the clients were kind of in their 60s and above. A lot of them were scared to death of COVID. So it's not that they didn't want to come to the gym because the city told them they couldn't. It was because they were scared to death of dying. So we lost a lot of clientele, or at least a lot of stuff on pause while we were still having to pay for all our bills. No one was giving us help. And, you know, and then the only gyms that were still kind of running were the, you know, the 20-year-olds. You know, the boot camp gyms were a little bit cheaper, but if they were even able to make it to stay open, you know, the 20-year-olds could care less about COVID. So those were the only fitness studios that were not struggling.
And what were your emotions like? Can you take us through the roller coaster that you went on and what you were feeling and thinking during that time when it first started to come out, like when they started shutting things down?
Yeah, actually, you know, just over the last 15 years of just all the gyms, the competition, everything, just been used to getting beat up as a business owner. And you just got to go numb, you know, do our monthly meetings with my investors, pick a different avenue to go after and just go for it. So I actually did really well, you know, no doomsday feeling or anything like that. I mean, like if we have to shut another gym down, that's fine. And we just keep going with the one. And that's what we ended up doing. And then we held that one through COVID. And, you know, live to fight another day. And thankfully, I had investors that, you know, this is nothing in the grand scheme of things as far as their pocketbooks are concerned. So, you know, we knew, you know, survive this, you know, just keep that culture going. And we did. We, with that one gym, we were picking up people like crazy because we were one of the only other gyms that were still operational, even though we weren't really supposed to. And yeah, then we just kind of blossomed out of that. And,
so that's with it. Your investors, what's the relationship like with them? Were they the type that were like acting like mentors to you too, and like members of the team? And did you look at them as like, hey, this is like, we're partners in this, man. Let's work on this together. Were they like that? Or were they more hands-off, passive, and didn't really want to help?
Oh no, they were definitely hands-on. It was almost too hands-on. You know, we'd have almost weekly meetings, and you know, a lot of them hadn't, I think a lot of their stuff was more real estate, commercial and residential. Only a few times had they kind of gone into an industry where it was like kind of the retail shopping experience or you know, and first for fitness. And just trying to educate them of everything I had learned over my whole life, the last 10 years of business was, you know, kind of a fight, and they had their ideas, and they technically at that point were the majority, you know, owners of 3 of the gyms. So it's a lot of butting heads. But I think over the course of like 2.5-3 years and going through all the pain and suffering that we did with some of the gyms closing down and a little bit of fighting, we kind of grew together and more on the same team, understanding each other. And, you know, today they're basically like family. Like I have since left that gym and moved down to San Diego, and I'm doing more of my podcasting and online training. they still have that gym going. And, you know, I go back, you know, every other month and I try to visit the gym, have lunch with them. And, you know, who knows if I ever need another investor and they'll be the first people I go to. So,
yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. So then online transitioning or adding to the online thing, talk us through that process and how you got that up and running and all.
Yeah. So, you know, I had kind of heard, you know, I've done a lot of marketing, a lot of networking, and I joined this BNI networking group a long time ago. And someone came from England, UK, and was telling our group, hey, just to let you know, like a lot of people are doing podcasting and, you know, you never know who's listening. She told her story of being a nurse and she was selling a product to diabetics on the side. And eventually she did a podcast and she was crushing it and she was selling her product all over the world. And she said, you'll never know who's listening. And she's like, guess where most of my, you know, people who are purchasing my product were coming from. We're like, I mean, US, we think. She's like, no, India. I'm like, what? And so she's just like, yeah, you never know who's listening. Just a pocket in India, which is all about at that time period about trying to fix her diabetes. And they were just, you know, listening to her stuff and it just created a whole business out of it. She ended up quitting her nursing career, did that full time. Joined BNI, and that's how she was telling her story. So having that in the back of my mind, and after COVID, seeing like, oh my God, we got to start doing more online training to supplement. You know, I 6 months later into COVID, is like, well, I already knew how to do the online training. Let's start marketing this and go try out this podcasting. And, you know, I talked to you before the show, how I hate social media. I hated doing it for my gym. You know, I pay everyone under the sun to do all these things and never had the greatest experience with it. And, I didn't know if I would be good at podcasting, but just setting up everything, pushing the button and just talking, I just like fell in love with it. And, you know, since now there's video format too, and I have no problem doing that as well.
Yeah.
But I just loved it. I hated social media, those things, but loving the podcasting. So I just put two and two together with, you know, my passion for helping the over 40 crowd, because that was just always my target audience. Now, lo and behold, at that time, I just hit 40. And the whole theme of my show is, you know, I'm a personal trainer who's always had, you know, a rocking body, never had any issues, always played sports, hit 40. And now I'm having problems losing this weight. You know, oh my God, all the, you know, poor older guys that I was training back in the day that were crying about it. And I was trying to push them harder, diet better, work out harder. I'm like, oh my God, it's the aging process. There's nothing you could do about it. So yeah, my theme is I refuse to quit. I'm going to keep pursuing my dreams of a healthy body, you know, athletic looking, and to help everyone else out there struggling with the same thing without giving up your social life. Cause I'm a, you know, still into the party scene at 43 here.
Yeah. So we're going to get into some of that biohacking, anti-aging and things in a second, but I want to talk more about the podcast and how that went for you. So once you started, you fell in love with it. What did you see from it? And by the way, I assume you go on shows as guests too, or is it just more your show?
Yeah, no, started out with just my own show and then eventually, you know, cleaning up the podcast, better mic, better video, and then seeing the value of going on other shows. And you know, there's so much better turnover as far as getting new audience members going on another podcast show versus someone putting a little snippet on Instagram. And, you know, 1% of those people have ever even heard of a podcast. So I've quickly saw that. And now I've been on probably over 50, 60 shows.
Yeah. And what have you seen from it? What results are you getting from being on shows as a guest and your own show? Like, what has come from it so far?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've had a steady growth rate of like 10% every month. And every now and then attribute a lot of that to going on other shows is a little bit less, you know, before that. It's probably like 4% growth if you're trying to do it naturally. So definitely getting yourself out there, getting on other shows, definitely started moving the needle more. And of course, the bigger show you go on, I've almost doubled, you know, my listenership in 1 month from landing a pretty big show. But you know, it's hard to get on those shows, hard to pitch them. But now that I've been in the industry long enough, I have over 500, almost 500 episodes of my own. You know, I've been doing this for 4 years. It's way easier, you know, kind of pitching someone with a bigger show or at least the same size.
And now you said it was hard, right? Now that you ran into the right people, that one agency, by the way, if you're listening and you're trying to get on podcasts, there's nobody better to work with because we've already done all the warm introductions and building relationships with people, man. It's we got that dialed in so that you don't have to worry about that. And we talked a little bit in the green room about that, where you don't like social media. You want to focus on your genius. And anybody that has a business, you should be focusing on your genius and then get the other people that are good to focus on their genius and the other areas that you don't like doing or you're not good at. And you're doing the right thing, man. And all right, so from there, let's shift focus to that over 40 crowd. I mean, I deal with it too, man. I played college football. I played sports all growing up. I've always, you know, pretty much always worked out. Diet's always been something that's like, hit or miss. And I start making it a way of life. But like, there's, after you do hit 40, that metabolism slows down. Testosterone's, you know, obviously start to drop. And there's different things you need to switch up on. So what are some of the things people listening right now you could throw their way that they could implement or focus on right now that could make a difference in those aging dynamics?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing to put out there for the over 40 crowd is, you know, knowing it's not hopeless, but it is changing and it's not in your favor, but it's how long you can draw that out. Right. And a lot of people just think, okay, if I want to start losing some pounds, I just got to start killing myself in the gym and worrying about one bucket. Just go to the gym, doing fitness classes, all that kind of stuff. At this late stage in the game, you know, being over 40, you can't do it that way. You got to separate all these things out into different buckets. You know, diet, exercising, then there's just movement, inflammation, sleep, and stress. You know, each one of those, I have stories of clients that had issues with one of them, a couple tweaks, and just seeing how much better they feel, how much more weight they lost. And you just start, you got to start attacking each one of these. You can't just focus on one thing. And so synergistically, yeah, you put all these together, not only are you going to get your results, but then you start, you know, finding out that it's not just about aesthetics. It's also about, you know, longevity. So, you know, within the last 2 years, I think I've really been kind of moving my show, not just to dropping that weight, being over 40 to where you were in your 20s and 30s, but also, you know, just worrying more about having a healthy body, healthy joints, you know, caring about your blood work and more worried about, hey, do you think you can possibly hit, you know, the Century Club? And so that's kind of where my show's going. But you know, I still drop little fitness hacks on, you know, if you're focused on one of these buckets, here's some hacks for each bucket if you want to kind of focus on one of those as well.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. So yeah, a lot of people don't realize that cortisol is something that's designed to help us, right, in survival situations. But cortisol can be bad for you, and going hard in the gym and hard on cardio sometimes increases stress levels on your body and produces cortisol, which produces more body fat. Am I right? And what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. And sticking with cortisol, you know, for that, a lot of cortisol kind of affects women a little bit more than men, and especially for people who work out at night. So one of the easiest things is, more on the female side, is, okay, if you want to keep going at this rate you're doing, we got to pull your workout time slot earlier in the day, because having it ramped up that late at night is just destroying, you know, your hormones and your ability to burn fat and, you know, be effective at doing what you're doing. So that's one with cortisol. And the other one is not just hitting the gym, it's just stress. You know, one of my favorite stories is one of my clients who was getting close to 40 and coming 4 or 5 days in the gym, doing homework on the side. And, you know, she was looking really good, but still couldn't drop that last 10 pounds. And we tried forever. And, you know, going right back to the diet and seeing what she was doing. And throughout all of this, you know, hearing all, as a trainer, we're kind of like therapists, right? We're hearing mm-hmm. our clients' stories or problems, and just hearing her for years talking about how she hated her job. She hated her coworkers, but her husband didn't have a stable enough job for her to kind of go on her own. And one day it happened. He like scored a sweet job, you know, benefits. And he was so grateful for her for keeping them going. And he allowed her to kind of go into a consulting independent business and quit her job. Within, I would say, 9 days, she dropped all 10 of those pounds like a light switch.
Wow.
And that's the first time that I ever saw the power of hormones as far as related to stress and cortisol. So, I mean, this stuff is real. You know, yeah. There's so many different things too to talk about. But that's just, you know, one of my favorite stories.
That's phenomenal. And, you know, like a lot of us think that we're stuck where we are with whatever's causing us stress. And we're really not. Matter of fact, there's things that we're doing that you don't need to stress about. You could just decide not to stress and then figure out the problem. Because when you're stressed, your emotions are higher too. And your intelligence drops. Your IQ actually drops when you're stressed, when you're emotional. What are some like supplements and also types of food that people can eat that slows cortisol down?
I think overall, kind of my theory is over 40, you know, unless you're getting paid millions of dollars to be an athlete and doing some type of sport, you know, really taking down your carbohydrate and sugar intake, I think is just better for longevity, helping keeping your hormones a little bit more in balance. So you don't have these surges of insulin blood spikes and which is just terrible for the body as far as gaining weight. When your insulin is spiked and your glucose is high, you cannot burn fat. It's like a cold, hard, dead stop. So controlling that and controlling your blood sugar levels is just like the number one thing you should be thinking about over 40. So a lot of stuff will just start going away problem-wise when you start doing that. And yes, maybe if you're a CrossFitter or doing 7 days a week trying to compete in the CrossFit games, yeah, you will see a downturn in your performance. But, you know, you just have to decide what's more important to you, you know, longevity and feeling great, or, you know, doing what you're doing sport-wise. So that's one thing I kind of separate those two with a client to see where their mindset is right off the bat.
All right, Brad, look, we got to wind down. I could talk to you for hours about this stuff, man, but I want to respect your time and respect the listener. Where can people find you? Where's the best place to go? Over the number 40fitnesshacks.com. Is that the best place for them to go?
Yeah. So anywhere you listen to your podcast, just Over 40 Fitness Hacks, and it's 40, not spelled out. And the same thing for my website, Over 40fitnesshacks.com, and it's 40, not spelled out.
All right, guys, go check out Brad's podcast, Over 40 Fitness Hacks. Like you said, there's over 500 episodes, and then you can keep track of him there and then connect with him on the website over the number 40fitnesshacks.com. Brad, thank you so much for being here, man.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mike, for having me on.
All right, pleasure meeting you. Hang tight while I wrap this up. Thank you, the listener, for watching or listening or both. I really appreciate you so much. And, you know, make sure that you go and like and subscribe. Share this podcast, the What Are You Made Of Show, with your boy C-Rock, with your friends, your coworkers. We're going to keep bringing you great guests to share their journeys, share the ingredients that they're made of, and also encourage you to understand that you're unstoppable to live in the life of your dreams. So until next time, it's your boy C-Rock signing off from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of Show. Be that one.
Music licensing reimagined.